I tell you, it was really hot today. How hot was it? I saw two fire hydrants fighting over a dog. Thank you, Johnny.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Well, what have we here?
It's a podcast.
Fine.
And what excitement we have today.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
It's not Mike, it's me.
Oh, you messed it up.
I did. Or did I fool everybody? You never can tell. I just had the idea when that tape didn't play, Josh. I was thinking,
yes.
Wouldn't it be funny if it played in Mike's living room, where his Bluetooth
really
stuff
good
goes?
Bluetooth.
Yes, it's excellent. Goes straight on down 95. Welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody. It's another Jars episode.
12-hour early shows.
Yeah,
I like recording the night before. It's
great
energy.
Stuff. Yeah, it is. This is another episode of Jars. The Josh and Rob Show. I don't know if that's going to stick or not, but I'm giving it one more.
I don't like Jars.
I know.
But
well,
I don't have a better option though.
It was funny on the show today when we were talking about Jars. I like that.
Okay.
It was different. So yeah, we were recording this Tuesday.
It's better
night,
than though. The Not Mike Show.
Yeah, that's not going to pack them in, is it? Is it?
No,
no. No. So yeah, this is the Tuesday night edition that's to be released on Wednesday.
Yes.
I'm here, Rob, with Josh, who as is this your first show? No, it's not from New Jersey because you did
this camp.
This
is my third show from New Jersey.
Because
I learned. Yeah, because we did Monday, Tuesday. This is Wednesday's show.
But I'm talking about your time at the camp because you did it last year as well. Right?
Oh, yeah. Last year also. Yes.
Yeah, that was your first, I think, your first remote broadcast.
Yes. And, you know, I was realizing pre-show, Mike always talks about how the show is therapy for him.
Yeah.
I think it's better to have therapy pre-show, and then we roll into having fun.
Yeah, I do, too. You had a little bit of a session. I think I talked you down
pretty good.
You
had a little bit of the heat issue as well.
So
and,
bad.
And D.C.
I hate when my head is this shiny. Look at it. Gross.
And Matt is asking why the schedule is like this. It's because we can.
Yes.
Because we want to.
Your brother, Matt?
No, Matt Bonner.
Oh, Boner. Matt Bonner. Oh, I thought he's not your brother.
So this has nothing to do with Little Michael's baseball. For the summer, Mike is off on Wednesdays.
Right.
So it's the Rob and Josh show.
Mm-hmm.
And we decided it'd be fun to do at night so then different people can hop on the stream.
Yeah,
we're
it
not
actually
hitting that West Coast 5 a.m.
Yeah, and I think it's fun. I think, again, we have a different energy, so that's cool. Now, you are at your camp, and we joke about what it is, but people should know in all genuineness, it is the Gemstones Family Camp.
Yes.
Isn't it?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Kelvin's outside.
Oh, good.
He's rounding up all the kids.
No, there's nothing to do. That's just silly. Here we go.
This is not the Gemstones.
Okay.
This is a bunch of churches that I respect a lot, a bunch of leaders who I respect a lot, and it is a...
not like Daddy Gemstone, you don't...
When you think of the positive things about a church and about church youth groups and church youth ministry, that's what we have here.
That's
not
awesome.
Not the negative connotations that are
associated
much more focused.
With so many, featured in the recent movie Enclave. About the Buick family.
Yep, no priests are here.
good. It's Conclave, I know, folks. So, I sound a little throaty tonight. So, ladies, you're welcome.
You blaming the 104 degrees?
It was 104 degrees on Connecticut Avenue. I know this because I was downtown, and I had to walk down to the parking garage to get my car. And when I started it up at the, it was on level one, just subterranean, it was 85 in the parking garage, and it almost felt chilly. And because, you know, that's not very cold, but it did feel nice. But yeah, 104 coming home. But now it's cooled down. I'm sure it's two digits now.
My phone says it's 88 degrees outside right now.
There?
And at 8 o'clock at night.
That's no good. That's like what you want at noon or 4.
Yes.
Right.
And that is not good for New Jersey. We're supposed to be colder up here.
Yeah. Yeah. You're north. You're decidedly north. Now, I used to vacation in New Jersey at the beach. So I like New Jersey quite a bit. My dad's from New Jersey. So.
That's where I am. I'm up on Long Beach Island.
Nice.
I walked to the beach today, and I never get in the beach because it's always freezing cold.
Yeah. Oh, the water. Yeah.
The water. It was not today.
Really?
It did not feel bad today. It is that hot.
Yeah, that's pretty hot. Now, what brought you to the beach? Were you just loaded up on your Fair Harbor and you wanted to hit the beach?
Yeah, I said, I don't have mesh anymore. Let me head on out here.
Were you filming, or were you doing a pleasure trip or what?
Everything I do here is filming. And I was saying on the show this morning, I come here and in the past it's been set up big speakers and run a big chapel service and all this.
Right.
This is the first year, and I talked about last year thinking they were phasing me out. I still think they're phasing me out.
Sure.
Because this year I am only responsible for video work, which means I do a bunch of videotaping. I have 5 cameras here on my desk charging.
Wow.
I have 2 of these little DJI.
Right, right.
Whatever, gimbals.
Yeah.
I've got a GoPro here I've been carrying around.
Do you shoot on your phone as well?
I have not shot on my phone yet.
Okay.
I've done some broadcast stuff in the chapel on my phone, and then I have a little drone here.
That is not a big drone.
No, it's very tiny.
Yeah.
It all unfolds, and it's...
It's so really like the size... When it's folded up, it's the size of like a controller for a video game. It's tiny.
I love it. I used to have one of the big drones for it. I love this tiny thing because I fit it in my pocket.
That feels good?
No, because I take all 4 of these cameras out with me.
I'm just having a good time.
Yeah,
that's all.
Yeah, I just don't turn on the propellers when it's in my pocket.
No. You have to be very, very careful. Yeah. You'll get another one of those knots if you do.
So I spent all day going out, and I videotaped the kids at meals, out playing. What's the Gaga ball? I think it's called.
Not pickleball.
Volleyball, basketball.
Did you say Gaga ball? Like Lady Gaga. Gaga?
I think it's Gaga ball. It's this octagon shaped thing.
Yes.
And like a fence made of wood. And the kids are in there, and you have to hit the ball with your fist at the other kids. And if it hits below your knee, you're out of the game. You try to knock the ball into people. I believe that's how it works.
It's like a dodgeball variant.
It's a dodgeball variant.
And it doesn't have anything to do with... Are they wearing clothes made of meat?
No.
Okay, so it has nothing to do with Lady Gaga.
No,
so.
No, there's no
very
Lady Gaga music. I believe I got the rules straight, but again, I don't think I've ever played. I've just watched these kids play.
You know, if you make a video with them playing Gaga, you really should play a Lady Gaga song behind it and see if anyone picks up on it.
So, I don't think they will because again, when I show it, it'll be 2 seconds of it. Because what I do is I videotape them doing all this, playing cards, going to chapel, a skit on stage, games on the stage, a band on the stage. Then they go out and they play. During the afternoons, they play games like church versus church games.
Okay.
So today there was a water...
Do they argue theology or is it more of an athletic thing?
No, sports. Athletics.
Okay, good.
Athletics.
Good.
There is a... because they are all... I believe all these churches now are the same denomination.
They're not all Florida churches then.
They are all Maryland churches.
Because you have
I started this 25 years ago. So
this makes perfect sense. So it's not necessarily aligned with your church. You're going up there as a part of this.
It's aligned with churches I used to go to.
Okay, but that makes sense. Okay, good.
It's PCA churches, Presbyterian Church of America, churches in Maryland that all work together, so they bring up all the kids up here. And there's like 400 kids here.
That's a lot of kids. Now, my question is, with all of them, have you had any that just say, what do they call you, Mr. Shroka? Do they call you Mr. Josh? What do they call you?
The kids?
Yeah. Or do they even call you?
Camera guy.
Camera guy. Camera. Okay. Very good.
Because, again, I have the best part is of my job here is I have zero responsibility for the kids.
That's kids pretty great.
Are doing something inappropriately, I try to get in position to just record it on my camera.
You see, that's smart. That's like
later.
They used to do stuff like that on 60 Minutes before they canceled it. Sort of like a behind the scenes thing.
Exactly. And that's what I tried. I try to get in spots where I'm videotaping a kid across the field where he's doing something embarrassing. He has no clue the camera's on him.
Oh, that's great.
And then I can show him the next morning. Because what I do is I collect all this footage and I make a music video every
that you
morning.
Can eat.
That shows the highlights of the day before.
And I guess your effort as the video guy is to try to get footage in of as many of the 400 kids as possible because everyone just watches it because they want to see themselves.
And they cheer when they get their team on.
That's great.
The different churches have different team colors, so I try to pay attention to that. But yes, personally, My favorite is if I catch a kid just totally wiping out or falling.
Oh, that's pretty good.
That's my favorite. I'll put it in slow motion. I'll focus in on it.
You are truly beloved. I love it.
I don't know these kids, and they don't know me. And so I brought today's video.
Before we go forward with this, I do have I want to see it, but I have one question because you talk about how you think they're phasing you out. I don't think they are. That's just okay. Then they are.
But that just might be.
If phasing you out means you don't have to carry speakers anymore, phase yourself out because I've carried so many speakers in my life and it sucks. So if you're away from that, that's a win.
Yeah. Yes, totally. Part of me is hurt because the way the chapel service runs, the way the sound goes, I designed all that stuff.
Okay.
It was crap before I got involved.
So,
and I built that thing up. So as part you, of me is as hurt you step to in lose now, that.
As you but step love, in now, it's the work that you've done in the past that continues to go on.
Correct. But like I came up on Sunday. I always come up on Sunday nights.
Okay.
Because that's when I have to set everything up. I came up on Sunday night and I had nothing to do.
That's great.
And
I
went over to the chapel just to make sure everything was being done and no one asked me for help. And it was kind of a little offensive of like, hey, I am the father of this thing, basically. And you're not asking for my help. But then also that I don't have to deal with that. So I have had more downtime.
That's great.
Yesterday, I got yesterday's video finished before like 11 o'clock.
Oh, so it's ready to go in the morning.
Yeah, where it used to be 3-4 o'clock. And that's also technology changing. And I want to talk a little bit about that later.
I wanted to ask about the, how do you display the videos to the children?
On a big projection screen.
Like, are they all together or is it going to separate venues within the camp?
No. So all the kids come together for their chapel service in the morning.
Okay. Makes sense.
So they let all the kids in and they've got big screens where they show like the lyrics to the music and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing every morning is all the kids come in, the lights go out and my video plays. And that's how every morning starts.
I love it. And I would like to say hi to everyone who was kind enough to join us in the chat room. Jim Phillips says it would be appreciated. And I don't know who's going to appreciate it. It would be appreciated if Rob wouldn't make fun of what Josh is doing at his camp. It's good stuff, Josh. And thank you for all your work.
I don't think I've been making fun of it.
I'm just pointing it out. That's all.
It's called entertainment.
Yeah. And also, who was it that said, Suck Chick says, just record this on Wednesday. It makes no sense. Trust me, this makes perfect sense.
This makes so much sense.
So you can keep your opinions to yourself.
If we recorded this on Wednesday at 8 p.m., it would be 12 hours late. Instead, we're doing it 12 hours early. Podcasts that you guys listen to don't stream. So they recorded like last Wednesday and it's coming out tomorrow.
Yeah, what we do is we pass the savings along to them. All right, let's see. The video you're going to show me, is it from today?
I'm going to show you the video that I showed the kids this morning.
Okay.
So this is the highlights of yesterday, which, to be honest, is my least favorite video that I do every year.
Okay, well, there's not much going on, right?
There's not much going on, and it's tough to make arriving in buses and vans exciting, but it'll give you a little bit of idea of what I do, and maybe later in the week I can show you another one where they're doing
I'd love
more.
That. Now, what time does the chapel start that they see the video in the morning? Check your notes.
I got my name tag right here.
Your lanyard, yeah. And doesn't that get you? That's like a fast pass when you get to heaven, right? You skip the line?
Yeah, I put all 25 of them around my neck. 9:30 in the morning.
Oh, so not terribly early. That's good.
No, it used to be 8:30. I swear they changed it this year to 9:30 because I am now in that chapel at 9:30, watching my watch, knowing that I have to be back on the computer at 10:15 for the show. And knowing
that's
that
true.
my video has to play, they go on stage and do games, they go and do the skit, and then I can cut out of there because, honestly, me videoing the sermon or the music is not entertaining to the kids.
Do you ever participate in a skit?
I do not believe no. But here's what I do.
Okay, do.
I work with the skit guys to make videos that go along with the skit that we'll show at other times in the evenings.
How are the skit guys? I didn't know there were skit guys.
Oh, it's been one guy for almost 20, maybe 15 years, one guy involved, and he is great. He's one of my good friends.
Oh, that's good.
He and I will text weeks leading up to Victory Jam talking about ideas for the skit, And, you know, you always got to make the skit something that the that resonates with middle school kids.
But it also has to tie back to the overall theme. You're at Bible camp?
No, there's no message. The theme is very easy. The theme is you take a good guy. He goes up there. Then you get a bad guy. I'm telling you, 25 years, this has been the skit every year.
Okay.
Good guy, bad guy. Somehow they're pop culture figures that middle school kids would be excited for. Bad guy comes in, tries to take over the camp, looks like he's going to succeed. Last day, he loses. Good guy wins.
Oh, so there's an ongoing plot every day.
Yeah, it's an ongoing plot. It's like 15, 20 minutes every twice a day, morning and evening.
See, I thought it was a procedural, like I thought it was a procedural like Matlock. No, this is a series.
This is a series for the year. It builds up. You bring in more characters, and every year, the key is,
yes,
we end it every year the same way. Every year, the good guys defeat the bad guys.
Sure.
They celebrate the YMCA. The kids get all excited for YMCA, and that's it.
One year,
we said, let's have some fun. Yes. Let's have the bad guys win.
Oh, no.
And here's how it goes. So the big chapel is Thursday night.
Right.
And that's the last one. Like,
right.
Because Friday morning is like a wrap up. Everyone's getting ready to go home. So there's no skit Friday morning. So many kids were crying Thursday night that we had to add a skit Friday morning where the good guys came back to life and saved the day.
I appreciate the fact that you didn't leave them hanging with an evil moral victory.
No.
But when you saw people crying, when you saw the attendants crying,
we loved
it. Was it sort of fun?
Yes.
For
guys like me and guys like the other skit guys who have done this forever.
Yeah.
Really funny.
I love it.
For the church leaders.
Yeah.
That had to console the kids and know the kids are going home and telling their parents about this. Not so pleased with that ending.
Not
so we
so
had
pleased.
To change it.
Yeah. Wow. The clever
twist
point, had caught
we're
me
like,
off guard.
Well, we still got YMCA. So then we brought it back. And then it's been about 10, 15 years of we just put YMCA at the end.
Do you think maybe time for, I mean, the kids that come, have they been coming in years past? So they've been there a few times?
So here's what it is. They come for 3 years. After sixth grade, after seventh grade, after eighth grade.
Okay.
So you have that buildup where that first year, you don't really know what's going on as a kid.
Exactly.
Then you get comfortable. Then you become the leaders. And so it all works out.
God, it's crazy the difference between sixth and eighth grade, though. Just those few years.
It is.
That's wild. Wow. So do you think ever, not this year certainly, but maybe in the next decade, you'll update the song at the end of the skit?
I don't want to. We have in the past. I always fight against it. Because it is such a stupid song.
It is. And it's instantly recognizable.
Everyone knows it immediately. Everyone knows the hand motions. Because when these kids were in sixth grade, we let kids storm the stage at the end to celebrate with the good guys and do the YMCA. Now they look forward to it every year. So every now and then we've had a couple years where different people have tried to run with the skit.
Yeah.
And they didn't do that. And it's not the same.
I tell you,
it's the traditional guys, it'll stay.
I'd love to tell you that I think this is rotten or stupid, but I love it. I love the fact that you're on the internet. The whole notion of the ongoing 5-day skit is magical to me, or 4 days or whatever.
It's great. And anyway, that was my point is what I do as far as the skits is I work with the skit guys to be like, hey, let's make some videos that go along with the skits where you're not on stage. Let's go out to the beach and shoot something.
Okay.
Or let's go up in these halls and do a Scooby-Doo chase, running from door to door.
Oh, so you have a mixed media presentation.
I will edit it together, and then that night it might start with a video of the skit.
That's so great. If you need any Scooby-Doo music, let me know. I have the entire score. Okay, good.
The Scooby-Doo door chase is worth doing every few years.
I would think that's maybe every year. I think that's better than YMCA. Thank you, Matt Bonner, for the super sticker. I appreciate that. So you were talking about, let's see your video. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to table that.
That's all right. Cameron is mentioned in Friday by Rebecca Black. I'm sure I've used that at some point. If there is a cheesy song that is clean, because part of me, it gets difficult every year picking out pop songs that are clean and appropriate for a middle school church camp.
Mm-hmm.
But if there was one, I've used it.
You didn't use WAP, WAP. That's not good for the kids.
No. I used the Kid Bops version.
Good, good, very good. All right, let's look at your video handiwork. I do love it.
Yeah, here is this morning's music video showing off yesterday's highlights.
All right.
I was down, but now I'm up. Yeah. This all God, this ain't no love. Yeah.
Like I said, not too excited because it's arrival day at camp.
Right.
It shows you a little bit about.
I was down, but now I'm
staying.
Oh, what a beautiful place.
It's an awesome place.
Yeah. This all God, this ain't no love. Yeah. I used to be stuck in that mud. Yeah. Yeah. I was down, but now I'm up. I was down, but now I'm up. Like my name Lazarus. No Satan gonna be mad at this. I had to ask my dad if it's
see,
okay to swing my bat at this.
He that's
said,
great.
Boy, if I pitch it, it's out of the park. Moving so quick, it's like they stuck in park. They see the numbers, but
yeah,
I see the work. 10,000 hours, you spit in the dark. Putting in good work, even though you didn't even know that it would work. Talk about a man who grew up in woodwork. Do it for the love of it, that's the way it should work. Yeah,
oh, that's
yeah.
Great.
And this is,
I know some people gonna look at me crazy and I'm like, for what?
Forrest Frank, I believe.
I was stuck. I was
going
now I'm
all over TikTok.
It's all God, this ain't no love. Yeah. I used to be stuck in that.
Okay, now we're in the pool. So
now we're in the pool. Oh, there's Gaga Ball.
Gaga Ball.
That is Gaga Ball.
Now I'm up like a seesaw when I'm on a beat like an old man's
dinner.
Arm. Better keep off from the ground to the treetops. Got clouds on my feet like Jack and the Beast. I jumped up quick, went straight in a free fall. Cowboy hat and a mic.
So they make little flags.
Landed on my feet like a feline.
Oh, yeah,
put
yeah.
A bag in the seat.
Like survivor. Right
what you mean I'm not worthy? Did it with a purpose. Didn't need a permit. Digging from the bottom and I brought it to the surface.
Mind your business
now. Who I worship?
That's okay.
Who the little guy making big, big, big. Moves TikTok, turn it to a tick tick.
So here we go, rolling into the chapel. Doing some type of poster game. You know, little Oreo.
Yeah, yeah, bounce it on your face.
I was down, but now I'm up.
Then we get a skit.
This is a skit, guy?
That was a skit.
All right.
Counselor Hunt, cards. So,
not a great shot, youngster. Oh, wait. It was a good shot.
Now I'm up.
That's brilliant,
so
Josh.
I
love it.
That is what I do every day, is make videos like that. And
that is so cool, because what you did is you took something really boring and made it pretty watchable.
Exactly.
I imagine when you get something notable to see, it's a lot of fun.
And that's what I'm excited about. Like, that video sucks.
Yeah.
Because it's boring. It's people dragging luggage out of buses.
Mm-hmm.
Today I have games, and I've got crab soccer, and I've got this Dizzy Bat game, which is my favorite game in the world to videotape.
What is Dizzy Bat?
All right. You all get in line at your church and
okay.
You go one at a time.
Okay.
You have to put your head on the bat, put the bat on the ground.
Oh, you know what? I had to do this at the Prince William Cannon Stadium.
Yes.
And it's horrible.
You spin around 10 times.
Yes.
You run 10 yards. You have to catch a water balloon that's tossed to you.
No.
If you don't catch it, which you normally don't.
Yeah.
You have to run around a chair 10 times and then dive into a little kiddie pool full of water.
I remember after doing it, not being able to walk. I mean, it throws your equilibrium so far off.
I did it once. I can't handle it.
I fell down at Cannon Stadium in Prince William County.
Yes.
So
that's
my
favorite one
moment.
To videotape, because the kids fall, they get into the water. It's lots of entertainment.
I love it. I love it.
The Mike O'Meara Show is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial genius, monetary magician. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. You see, my friends, Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it. So your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
All right. Before we get, I know you had something to say about technology. And
yes.
I want to hear about it. But I also want to talk a little bit about, we talked about how hot it is. Liquid IV,
so
man.
So much smoother than Mike.
What?
No struggle of, wait, I'm not taking a break. I'm sharing with you an ad.
All right. So Liquid IV, when it's 104 degrees on Constitution Avenue or Connecticut Avenue or any of the great avenues of our nation's capital. You need to stay hydrated, and Liquid IV is the perfect companion for your hot summer plans. And if you visit liquidiv.com and use code TMOS at checkout, that's good for 20% off your first order. And there's a new flavor. I can't wait to get my tonsils around this one. Arctic raspberry. It's exotic and fun. Plus, Liquid IV has sugar-free solutions.
That might be what I
have. Do you have Arctic raspberry?
This thing is full of raspberry something. It's like an energy Liquid IV.
Oh, because they have their different sub-category.
Yeah.
Oh, it's how is
I'm
it fantastic?
This camp. It's wonderful.
Yeah. It does refresh you and rehydrate you faster than water alone. And it's better for you than all those sports drinks because it has 8 essential vitamins and nutrients and always GMO, non-GMO. Fix it. And always non-GMO, vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, and soy-free. So, as Josh would say, grab a stick and start sipping. So no matter what your summer brings, tear, pour, live more. Liquid IV. Treat yourself to extraordinary hydration from Liquid IV and get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use the code TMOS at checkout. That's 20% off your first order with the code TMOS at liquidiv.com. Liquid IV has been with us forever. And now that all this planet warming is going on, it's a very valuable sponsor to us.
Yes.
I love it. I love it.
Chris Arnold says, it looks like a good location for the next Mike O'Mara Show reunion weekend.
I'd love it. If not,
we can... TMOS summer camp?
Yes. Well, Mike is, I don't know, do you know about the impression camp that Mike used to do?
No. Is that a real thing?
Sure,
I thought you were just joking about that, right?
We were joking. But
okay,
it had its whole backstory. Is that the impression camp was held during the day at Meriwether Post Pavilion. And it started with a large breakfast served on stage with those, like a hotel, a silver thing that you lift up. And there's scrambled eggs and bacon, all that stuff. And you get a good meal. And then Mike comes out and teaches you impressions. And then back to the tents so you can practice. It was usually like a five-day camp. Yeah.
Of course, I don't think impressions can be taught. I think that's pretty natural.
Yeah, I guess. But you can see, Mike taught he gave his mimicry tricks, shortcuts. Right. That's why I'm sorry that the camp is no longer functioning, but that would be a good place to bring it back, especially in this extreme heat.
Right. Well, nowadays we would just line every camp bed with a grounding pad.
That's very funny you bring that up. I'm looking forward to hearing about that when we get Mike back, but Rolando is saying, let's call Mike and check if he's using his new gift. Now, you see, I think the most entertaining thing about that gift is two classic purchases that Mike has made since I've known him are the Jetstream oven, which was sort of like a primitive air fryer.
All right. I'm not familiar with the Jetstream oven, but it sounds like
it was
like
a long time ago. For some, I don't know why I know this. It was promoted by a guy named Dave Dornbush, and Mike bought it, and it was a rousing success. But the best thing Mike ever bought is something that has been fooling people literally since the 1950s, and that's the power antenna. And it is an attachment that ostensibly turns your entire house into a television antenna.
I've seen it. I've seen it advertised. I don't trust it.
No.
Because you know where it works? I'll tell you, the power antenna works on really old homes that are not properly wired and grounded.
I would think so.
That's where it works.
What it does, it's like almost, imagine if you will, slightly larger than like an Apple brick, the thing you plug your cord into.
Yeah.
And there's two screws on the outside, and that's where you attach your television antenna.
It's like
coax.
It's like the adapters to send the internet over your phone lines.
Precisely.
Or over your electrical lines.
And so then you get that attached, then you plug it in, but it doesn't draw electricity. It uses all the copper in your house to make your entire house an antenna. And I shall never let Mike forget the fact that he bought a power antenna. But that was not technology, and yet you deal with technology all the time. Yes.
I do. Now, we can go in two directions with technology.
This is like a choose-your own adventure.
Yeah,
I like it.
We can go in your Comcast issue because you dealt with Comcast a bunch yesterday.
I did.
And I've dealt with Comcast so much that I used to have a special phone number that I could call. And I had this for Comcast and for DirecTV where I would call, give them the code, and it would be like super high tech support where we're not making this guy do any type of reboot. We trust that he knows what he's talking about.
Oh, that, you see, I would love that's worth its weight
now,
in gold.
The NFL or the DirecTV one was tied to the NFL Sunday Ticket.
Right.
It was a phone number specifically for NFL owners. So when I would call it, they would know that I was calling on behalf of the owner of the Baltimore Ravens.
Hi, my name is Josh Modell.
It was one phone number that I'm guessing some other celebrities had this number.
Sure.
But the 30 football team owners had it because of the Sunday Ticket.
That's crazy.
And that was an unbelievable one. The Comcast one was pretty good too.
Yeah, I pretty much had DirecTV wrapped around my finger for many years because I subscribed in 1996 and stayed with them the whole time.
Before they launched their first satellite.
Yes, DirecTV came in on a power antenna and alligator clips. No, but it was back then you bought the dish like at Circuit City and it was expensive and you had to own your dish. And I was in an apartment. So I mounted it to a wine crate, and I weighed that down with white rocks, and that's how I was able to point it. But it was not like today where you just phone them and they come and they do it. Well, it was a whole thing.
Now you don't even need a dish.
No.
Now it's.
But talking about that, let's start with Comcast, who I've had forever. And the main reason I keep it, it's not because I love them. I don't want to lose my email that I've had for 28 years.
You know, I think they have a deal where you can keep the email address for like $5 a month.
But at a Comcast.net, they'll let you keep that?
I believe
I should look into that because occasionally I'll get an email from like a guest on the show 20 years ago. And they say, does this still work? I said, it sure does. But we recently upgraded my home internet to Comcast Business. And it is not cheap, but it has been very reliable since we got it installed, which is great. And it gives me superior downloads and pretty good uploads. So I get up the other day and I go to sign onto my computer and it's not interneting. It's not going to websites. It's not doing anything. So I said, that's not right. Luckily, I have the Comcast contract that they emailed me when we got business internet. And it said 24-hour support at this number. I said, superior. Because this is like 7 in the morning before we did the show. So I dial it up and I get, if you're doing, does this involve internet? Press 1. Beep. Okay. Does this involve business or home internet? I press 1 for business. Beep. And I go through the phone tree and then I get, hello. Thank you for calling Comcast. We are closed until regular business hours. Please call back. I said, well, that sucks. So they didn't do anything with that. And so I actually put myself on my own hotspot on my phone. And we barely got through the show with it. I realized that earlier that we were in arrears for some money, and that's why they cut it off. And so I went online and paid for it. And it came back, but the speeds were about 1/20th of what they should be.
Okay.
It was working, but slow. And so I called. I said, listen, first of all, you're not 24 hours and I can't do my job. And this is what's going on. And the guy said, literally, have you tried unplugging it and plugging it back in? I said, yep.
That's always their first response.
Yep.
That's why I needed the special number.
Exactly. You saved yourself so much time. And he says, where are your Ethernet plugs plugged into? I said, into the Ethernet plug holes. Where do you think they are? And so he says, hold on. And he accelerated the ticket. And they sent a guy out that day, which was great.
No, that's a business service. They do that.
And so he came in. I have it mounted on the wall, so it's not on my desk. He took it off the wall, undid a screw, pulled out a battery, talked to me for 10 minutes, put the battery back in, put the screw back in.
Because it doesn't really reboot because it's got the battery built in.
Exactly. And the battery is supposed to give you like 3 hours of internet Wi-Fi if you have like a crisis. But the fact that it was preventing anything from happening was nuts.
Right.
But that guy came out, and he was actually very friendly,
And there's not a button to like bypass the battery.
No, you have to take the thing off.
That's ridiculous.
It is. It truly, truly is. So anyway, we got it fixed and the speeds are up and running. And I just wanted to share with you that, you know, Comcast, sort of a player in the internet field.
Yeah.
Why are they that dumb? Why is it that stupid?
Because the business side is such a moneymaker. They don't care. They will send someone out because the business side is a ripoff. Why? Explain to me why business internet costs five times the price of regular internet
for
the exact same stuff. Where, if anything, you want faster speeds in your home than at your business.
Yeah,
they charge you more because you're a business, and there's no reason. It's just like, at least DirecTV and Comcast TV can say, hey, we charge you more for this cable box because 20 people are watching it at the bar, not one.
Yeah, I can understand that.
The internet, no, you're giving me a certain amount of internet.
And also, as I said, I'm stuck with Comcast, that their top shelf ultimate offering for up speeds is 40 megabits per second,
which is a tech issue with them.
It should be like 800 if you're doing the top line, right?
But that's all they can send over the little coax cable.
Oh.
So that's where they are stuck, because they are not fiber optic and they are trying to catch up. But most of their lines are not fiber optic yet.
Well, now, I sent them an email to complain, but it hasn't arrived yet.
Now, is Verizon available in your neighborhood?
I'd have to check.
Here's the deal with the Xfinity email.
Okay, great.
You can keep your Xfinity email address.
Yeah.
As long as you visit the Xfinity email website before you disconnect, and you have to go to and log in on the Xfinity email website once every 9 months. And then
then it's free?
And then it's free and you can keep it.
I would do that. I would 100% do that.
Seriously, just set a thing on your calendar.
Yeah.
To every 6 months, log in on the website, and you will save money by getting rid of Comcast Business and going to Verizon Fiber for home.
Wow. And all those emails that land, I hate to sound like such a rube, but God, I am.
Yeah.
When they land in the Comcast.net mailbox, they can be forwarded to another account, right?
You could, or you could just continue to log in and read them like you have been.
Wow. That's something, you know what? That's a good summertime project.
And you know what? This is on the Xfinity's website. So it's not a hack or anything.
Sending people an invitation to leave their service.
Yes, exactly. So
what are they doing? Between the batteries and inviting people to leave, that's no good.
Well, because they realized it's 2025. You have to let people move their email address. It's similar to the whole keep your phone number.
Yeah,
and change from provider to provider.
Yeah.
I'm sure part of them were like, hey, we don't want to give this up because they're going to pay me forever because they don't want to lose their phone number.
Yeah. So that is a good summertime project. Now, obviously, I've proven that I am not a technological tower, but you also had thoughts on technology as you're doing stuff at the camp.
Because with the camp, I have good and bad things with technology. The good thing is these cameras. I love that all these cameras are tiny and get me 4K quality, 120 frames. They get
when
me
you
great
started,
quality.
When you started at the camp 25 years ago, you said? Is that right? What kind were you videoing things then?
Rob, I started with a VHS tape.
I was going to say, timing would bear out.
I started with the mini tape, and I would have to, here's, I wouldn't, I would, I don't know. I was 20 years old when I started this. and the only thing I can explain is that I was able to stay up all night because I was 20 years old.
Right.
Because I would videotape during the day, and then I'd have to real time copy the footage into the computer.
Oh, so you were still editing on a computer.
I was still editing on a computer.
But it had to be magnificently slow.
I had to real time copy it into the computer.
Yeah.
And then software and all is slow to edit and get it down.
Yeah.
So, and then on Thursday night, when I finished for the whole week, I would have to take all five videos I made, because Thursday, two videos, because there's a marathon video and a highlight video.
Okay.
But anyway, I would take all five videos, copy them onto a VHS tape or eventually a DVD.
Right.
And then I'd have to duplicate that thing 20 times to hand out to all the church leaders before they left.
Oh, my gosh. So and that Thursday you were night, working with two working with two VCRs, essentially?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, my God. So slow.
And eventually I got a DVD duplicator that would do like four or five at a time.
What you need is there are some stores in the Culmore neighborhood of Falls Church that are heavily, I'd just say a lot of suspect businesses are there. It's also where the Peking Gourmet is, which is one of my favorite restaurants. But there's one store that in the back, if you walked all the way to the back, they had a wall of, I'm guessing, 60 VCRs.
Yeah.
That's and I was going to say, don't suppose they're doing any illicit copying here.
No, because at the same time, I was a church AV director, so I had access to this stuff because I would do it at the church on Sunday and bring it here. So I had the cassette duplicators, the VHS duplicators, the CD, DVD duplicators. So I had all that, and I would just drag it all out here and do it. So part of me is like, I love that now I just copy the files in. It doesn't take as much time. I'm still up late putting it all together, but the rendering time is way down and all that.
Sure.
What irritates me this year is that I am trained on professional software.
Yeah.
I use Final Cut Pro, and I use
that's a big
Adobe
deal.
Premiere,
that's,
and I use and Adobe
That's a Hollywood
Premiere.
Package right there. That is.
And it's the same software I use to edit the Mike O'Mara Show.
Mm-hmm.
And I always like saying, yeah, I use the same software that they use to make these blockbusters.
Right.
I didn't use it yesterday.
Why not?
Because I have to keep up with the kids.
Right.
And what the kids love is all the filters and weird transitions and paper
ripping. Mm-hmm.
And
by the way, I did like that dissolve, the paper rip dissolve. Yeah, I like that.
Exactly. I used it like six times in that.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It's a nice dissolve. But to go get in all that into Premiere or Final Cut, I have to go out and I have to buy the plugins.
Sure.
Spend hundreds of dollars. And over the years, I have. But the problem is, every year I have to buy new plugins to stay fresh.
Right.
And it adds up. So there's a great software called CapCut.
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 Okay.
It's a free piece of software. It's made by TikTok. It's what TikTokers use to make all their TikTok videos.
So it's basically a TikTok package that you can grab and drag into a computer and edit using those filters?
It's TikTok editing software for the computer.
That's fantastic.
And
it's
free.
It's
free. You can buy a pro account for $20 a month, which I did.
Hey, big spender.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then I just edited this whole thing in this software that the kids are using. And it let me add all these plugins and transitions and filters that I've had to pay hundreds of dollars for over the years. And now it's all built in thanks to these TikTok kids.
Now, this how satisfying is it when you can put together a piece like that we showed earlier that is all basically free software?
It's irritating because it does something stupid. Like file management is really stupid on how it handles file management because it's not designed for it. Like normally I open up Final Cut or Premiere and all day I am importing files and getting it all ready.
Mm-hmm.
In CapCut, it doesn't do it that way. It's different. So it took me a little bit of adjustment
to relearn.
To get to.
Yeah.
And a little bit of
it's
like
a
the
shame
buttons.
You're not 11 because if you were 11, you probably would have done it right away.
And you know, the buttons are all over the place. They're in different places.
But at the same time,
if I want something to go backwards, in Final Cut, I have to go on the clip and adjust the speed and reverse it. And it does it fine. And here I just hit reverse. And it doesn't give me any options, but it works.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Mm-hmm. It's easier. Cameron's in there saying it's working with handcuffs. It is. It is working with handcuffs. But it's working with handcuffs with all of these other things that are free around me.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's all this other stuff. So it's very irritating, and it also goes in line with, I know you use Audition.
Yeah.
And I used Audition. I use Audition every day as well.
I used it back when it was Final Cut Pro, back in a previous century.
All right. And I love Audition.
I love it too.
But I went to school and learned how to edit on tape.
Yeah.
And then I am, Rob, I am Pro Tools certified. And that means nothing nowadays.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
And I was Pro Tools certified on the beta version of Pro Tools.
And well, and also because who can afford
today because it's all in Audition. No one can afford.
No one can afford Pro Tools.
Pro Tools. Audition is, again, $20 a month.
Yeah, it is. I love using the Audition. I love the entire Adobe suite is pretty good before we get too far behind the curtain. But yeah. It is so simple and it is intuitive in so many ways that, I mean, you can always learn another trick with Audition. There's a lot of stuff within it, but you can sit down and learn it in an hour. And that's fantastic. That's what it should be. You don't have to be certified in it.
And I know I'm an old man there complaining about CapCut.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm so used to Premiere and Final Cut, but things like remove background with one check mark, mm-hmm. one checkbox, and it removes the background. Where in Final Cut, I will go through and trace the body and mark the motion and go frame by frame and adjust, and it just does it. And it's not as precise, but it's good enough for the kids.
I was gonna say for something. I mean, what was that like? Maybe a 2-minute video?
For a 2-minute video. It's
there's 160 edits in it.
Exactly.
So, I mean, nothing's up there very long. So,
yep.
Well, so good for you for evolving.
My frustration is that I've evolved into what the kids use.
Yeah. Well,
and
you know
what? I can no longer say I use the same software that Spielberg uses.
I believe the children are our future. So I think what you've done is very, very good. But keep that certification in Pro Tools. It looks good on the wall, I suppose.
Right. Yeah, that's about it.
Yeah. Well, you know what? The work looks fantastic, and do what you can. And if Spielberg hires you, then you dust off the Pro Tools. Until then, you know, you can record the kids swimming backwards in a pool.
I might start editing the Michael Mara Show in CapCut, too. It seems like it's perfectly fine software, and that has irritated me all day.
I would love to be seen backwards.
I want it to be proven wrong.
Okay. I don't have ants in my kitchen anymore, Josh. I used to. Had a lot of them. And it was bad because, you know, I had two kids and they would leave crumbs and maybe a donut and the ants always found it and it drove me crazy. I hate bugs. They belong outside, not on my donuts. But if you have Pesty, you don't have ants anymore. I use Pesty. It is so cool. It took about 10 minutes to apply and other pest control companies charge like $800 a year. But with Pesty, you can get started at just $35 a treatment with a customized plan based on your location, bugs, and climate. Think of it. They target the bugs that are in your area.
Yeah. You and I got different formulas, I'm sure.
Yeah. You have scorpions, right?
Not thanks to Pesty.
Well, I mean, you had them is what I mean.
Maybe.
Florida's a scorpion thing. Well, that's because you're using Pesty. That's good. Or you're not looking in the right place. Anyway, what you got to know is that the kit is so affordable and it comes with a reusable electronic sprayer, which I tell you what, it's fun, folks. It's like shooting a squirt gun at your house and it takes 10 minutes to apply. It comes with mixing bag, pesticide, free gloves, and instructions. Pesty gets rid of over 100 types of bugs. Plus, Pesty is kid and pet friendly, which means a lot to me. And they offer a 100% bug-free guarantee or your money back. Pesty is the bestie. And now is the time to protect your home from bugs with Pesty. Go to pesty.com/TMOS for an extra 10% off your order. That's PESTIE.com/TMOS for an extra 10% off. So we are in the summertime solidly. It is the, you know, the meteorological summer has begun. The heat is here. It is summertime. Yes. And I don't see out there a lot of Hollywood blockbusters that are making me want to go to a movie theater.
Yeah, are there any this summer that you're excited for?
I can't think of one. There's that Formula One movie with Brad Pitt that looks pretty good.
That looks pretty good.
And I mean, I don't know. It's a blockbuster, though.
Right. No, I think, I guess there's a new Jurassic Park that's considered a blockbuster.
Well, they're hoping
Right, they're hoping for. But the last ones have been so bad that I don't have any high hopes for that. And then the only one I know is I always take my daughter to the Marvel movies. So I know we're seeing Fantastic Four at the end of July. And now, that'll be a blockbuster.
I heard that even Disney is backing off on the comic book movies because they feel they've reached saturation. So you might not see as many of them.
Well, I hear it's the opposite, that they stretched it so far that everyone pushed back. And now they're like, you know, We did really good when we only released three a year instead of all these TV shows and everything.
God, that's so ridiculous. Three movies a year for one thing. That's like in the 1940s when people didn't have television. It was the only game in town. Then you could do three movies
a year. So I miss the summer blockbuster that everybody's the movie that everybody has to see.
Do you have, before we hit the, by the way, here is the theme song for our summer blockbuster bit. And it is, of course, Disconnected.
Playing in Mike's living room.
Yep, it's playing in Mike's living room. But do you have one summer blockbuster that comes to mind when you think of a summer blockbuster?
It's always the same one. Independence Day.
Really?
I think Independence Day is the perfect definition of a summer blockbuster. It was big, action-packed. At the same time, it was right at the cutting edge of like CGI before everyone was tired of CGI. And it was one of those where everyone saw it. How many people were talking about that White House blowing up?
Yeah,
they didn't
ruin
it in
commercials. You know what? That you've mentioned,
that's the
one
I put together.
Okay, so
4th of July.
Yeah, 1996 it came out. It was the biggest hit of the summer of 96. It had 282 million domestic box office, which nowadays people would say, that's cute.
And you know what? I was 16 years old. Perfect age for a summer blockbuster.
That is exactly the right age. My perfect summer blockbuster is 1989, and I think I saw it in the theater 10 times, was The Batman with Michael Keaton and Jack Nicholson.
Okay.
And
all
that
right,
was people, I remember that was on people's minds because it came out and so many people were like expecting like the television show. Because
right,
the serious comic book movie really hadn't happened yet. Even a superior film like Superman or Superman 2, that was still a little goofy.
Do you think the internet is what's ruined summer blockbusters?
Like, because people know what's coming up?
Because everyone knows what's coming up. And everyone,
maybe.
Like, if you couldn't surprise people now, because everyone will talk about it.
Yeah, you're right. Maybe it has something to do with it. But I have here, going back some years, a list of the big summer blockbusters per summer, per year. And I'm wondering if we agree on whether or not they qualify as a blockbuster. Now, here's the music. Worth it. Worth the wait.
It was worth it.
It was. 1975 is when most historians say the summer blockbuster was born, and it's the movie Jaws. And I think Jaws was
100%.
The first. Yeah, I think Jaws was maybe the first movie to do 100 million domestic in a summer, which makes.
And I know they're doing like a 50-year showing this year.
Yeah, and Paul.
And
Christine,
I'd love to see it. I'd love to see it in the theater.
I have. I've twice seen it in a theater in re-release. I was four when it came out. I can't imagine going in without expecting what's going on and to have that dropped in your lap. I watched it back when HBO was home box office. I got HBO on channel 3. There was like one channel you could get.
Yeah.
And when we got it, they were showing Jaws twice a day. And so I was watching it all week. And I even got so I wasn't scared when the head popped out of the boat. I was a big boy.
No,
but
Jaws,
it's such a great film.
Yeah, Jaws is definitely a summer blockbuster. Mm-hmm. And Jaws is way better than Jaws.
Yeah, it is. It is. 1976, this does not, in my mind, classify as a blockbuster. The Omen, the horror movie with Gregory Peck.
No.
Doesn't it have to have a little bit of feel good to it?
A summer blockbuster has to be feel good and be fun. It can't be. Yeah. The Omen is not a summer blockbuster.
Okay. We have a hot streak following The Omen. It's like people got it. And by the way, R-rated movies aren't usually blockbusters.
No.
And that was an R-rated movie. Check out this run.
Well, that's also pre-PG-13.
You're right. You're absolutely right. 1977, Star Wars. 1978, Grease. 1979, Alien. 1980, The Empire Strikes Back. You can't argue with any of them. I know you don't like Star Wars.
I do not like Star Wars.
You
but
don't
you
like
argue
Star
with
Wars.
That.
But all of those, I think, well, not Alien, another R-rated film. I did not see that in the theater because I was eight. But I saw the rest of them.
But Alien makes sense as a summer blockbuster, too, because it was
so
game-changing.
It was. It was. In 1981, this is a movie that I remember being taken to on my birthday. So it was at the front of the summer blockbuster thing. But Superman 2. I loved the Superman movies with Christopher Reeve, even the third one to a little bit.
So, yeah, and superhero movies, that makes sense for summer blockbusters as well.
And that was a feel-good, and remember the motto, you'll believe a man can fly. 1982, how old were you in 82? Okay, so you probably didn't check out E.T.
Not in theaters.
No.
E.T. was 82?
Yes, seems like a million years ago, doesn't it?
I thought E.T. was when I thought I saw E.T. as a... I did see E.T. as a kid, but I thought it was new when I saw it as a kid.
Well, that was back, I think, they were still doing the re-releases, like every 3 years or so.
It might have been a re-release.
Could be.
Before they re-released E.T. in the 90s, where they took away all the guns.
Yeah, they made them walkie-talkies.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I saw it, yeah.
Now this one, 1983, I'll apologize in advance, Return of the Jedi. Which was, fine. I mean, from fine.
You can't, it's like a superhero movie. You can't, yeah. I don't like Star Wars, but I can't argue they're game changer movies.
Yeah, and that third one was a lot of fun because everything, we thought it was done. We didn't know there was going to be 40 more of them. Right. 1984, you're too young still, but this movie, when I saw it, it was a jaw dropper because it was the same summer that The Karate Kid came out. And among my friends, there was a Karate Kid group. And I said, no, what you need to go see in 1984 is Ghostbusters. And
I like you chose the right group there.
Thank you. Thank you. I thought Ghostbusters was, when I saw it, it was one of those films that I couldn't quite believe what I was seeing. Because it was like the comedy is at the level of the Three Stooges.
Yes.
But the effects at the time was something you haven't seen ever.
No,
I still remember when Zool, the monster, the green,
yes,
gray, like runs down the street. It was so great. I loved it. It was so neat.
Now, I think what's interesting about this list is you started in 75.
Right.
All the movies still hold up today.
You're right.
Every
You're
movie
absolutely
so far that you've
right.
watched, you can turn on today and it's still a great movie.
I hadn't
it's
thought about that.
It's not just a money grab.
Now, do you say that about the R-rated 1985 blockbuster? Do you think that Rambo... First Blood Part
yes,
2 holds
yes,
up.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Yes, it holds up because they don't make movies like that anymore. And
you're
I'm
right.
Sure it's, I'm sure it's racist. I'm sure
yeah.
it is.
And it's but unapologetically just we're going out to just, shoot people.
Exactly. And you put it on and it's a good time.
Now, 1986, you're going to like the blockbuster more than me because I maybe saw it back then, but I recently, within the last couple of years, watched it and said, this movie is horrible. And this movie is Top Gun.
All right. I do like Top Gun still.
Okay.
I cannot turn away from Top Gun. It is, if you play Days of Thunder, same movie, but on cars instead of,
yes.
you know, instead of airplanes. So
I
know
that,
it's a cliche movie,
yeah,
but it's
I
hard
think,
for me not to just enjoy it.
I think Days of Thunder is just a better movie all
it
around.
It might be a better movie.
Yeah. I mean, because...
Come on, is it those planes? You've
yeah,
never seen that before?
No, and the soundtrack. One of the best
yes,
soundtracks
the best
ever
soundtrack.
Made. Yes, we did mention Grease, Dirk. Okay, that leaves us off with 1987, another one that I saw in the theater, probably too young for you, Beverly Hills Cop 2.
I did not see that until much later.
Yeah, but I love the whole franchise.
Now that's another R-rated movie, summer
yep.
blockbuster.
You're right, and it made good cash, 151. It out. Do you know that it out earned Top Gun? That's crazy.
That doesn't seem right, but okay.
Did you watch the most recent Axel F. movie that Netflix did? The Beverly Hills.
I really
Cop?
Enjoyed it.
I loved it. Yes,
it was great because again, I don't want movies where I have to think. I want movies where I turn it on. And I don't want the movie we were talking about this yesterday, Echo Valley.
Yeah.
I don't want to sit there and try to figure out what's going on and then get disappointed at the end. I want a movie where I turn my brain off, I smile for 90 minutes, and then I can shut it off.
Because Eddie Murphy is still funny. He's funny just to see him.
He is.
He can't
yes.
help being funny. 1988.
Have you seen the interview going around with Arnold talking about twins?
No.
And I saw it on TikTok today, and he is talking about Twins and how Twins is the movie he made the most money off of in his career because they didn't get paid anything up front. It was all back end.
Yeah.
And he's made more money off of that than any other movie.
Wow.
And he said that they were working on a sequel
mm-hmm.
before, but the director passed away. So that put the sequel.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to laugh at the death of Ivan Reitman, but that'll slow it down.
They asked him if they had casted the third guy, who the triplet would be, and it was Eddie Murphy.
It'd be so great.
It would have been wonderful.
Yeah, I love Eddie Murphy. Okay, 1988. You may have gone to see this because it's a kid skewing movie, and I loved it. Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
I saw it. I dressed up as it as Halloween. I love Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Were you dressed as Roger Rabbit, not the
of
evil?
Of course.
I'm Roger
Rabbit. Yes.
Okay. Well, I wish we had known each other then because I could have dressed up as Eddie Valiant. We would have been great together. But that was another movie that when I went and saw it, I was already planning to see it a second time because I'd never seen anything like it. It was so fun.
And just the concept of Disney and Warner Brothers working together back then was, again, unheard of.
It was great. We already discussed 1989 Batman with Jack Nicholson, but that was a game changer for me. I loved it. It's the only reason I went and saw recently The Flash, because it had Michael Keaton playing
it's
Batman.
It's the same reason
again.
I watched The Flash, is to get Michael Keaton.
And The Flash is not that great of a movie.
It's a horrible movie.
1990, a romantic blockbuster, Ghost. It made making pottery sexy again.
I was too young for that movie. I have not seen Ghost.
Because the cliche of Ghost
and the pottery ghost making has been so much in pop culture that I've just avoided it.
When I was a freshman in college, and I was such a loser that I would go on Friday nights to the student commons for the free movie. And the free movie was Ghost.
I was sure you were going to say you went and made pottery.
No, I'm glad.
I'm glad you just went to the
watch. Now, my father made a lot of pottery in his day. It was one of his hobbies. But no, it has not come down to me. 1991, I think you're going to like this more than me. It's just not my cup of tea, but I've seen it. Terminator 2 Judgment Day.
It's a fun movie.
It is.
A fun movie. Again, just turn your brain off. It's a fun movie.
Yeah,
I accept that.
Okay, cool. 92, not as good. Batman Returns. That's the second Michael Keaton offering, and it was hard for me to take
it. No, it was too dark. Curtails of the first one.
Yeah, it was. I mean, you talk about a dark movie. That first one is pretty dark, but this one with that disgusting makeup on Danny DeVito as the Penguin, didn't like it. Now 1993, this is a big one, and this is the biggest summer box office we've seen thus far. Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
Now, did you go to the theater for that one?
This is where not having the internet was wonderful. I went to Jurassic Park at the age of 13 with a couple friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I went not knowing what the movie was about or even what we were seeing.
Yeah.
So when the movie starts with the T-Rex roar, I kicked my soda completely down in an instant, lost my soda, and it got kicked down however many rows in front of me.
I remember it being it's one of the first movies I remember that used sound as part of it. Like, the sound was so big.
Yes.
I mean, people have used sound effects and music for a million years.
I think it fell in line with surround sound.
Yeah.
And really,
as a matter of fact, I think you're right. Mm-hmm. But that was so much fun to see. And the best thing about Jurassic Park for me is that was when the Don and Mike show would get screenings on Friday mornings of the day it opened.
Oh, that's awesome.
And so by the time we rolled tape on TMOS at 3 p.m., not TMOS, D&M, at 3 p.m., we had already seen the movie. And it was great.
You had to go to the movie theater and see it, right?
Yeah, and it was hard to get to because it was Potomac Mills. It was far away. But still, it was worth it. They gave us all the snacks we wanted.
That was great.
94, I saw this on a date with my wife, and I did love it. The Lion King, the animated Lion King.
Okay. I saw it as 14 years old. It worked out. It was
great
fine.
Film. Very good movie,
good.
I think.
Again, they all stand up still.
Yeah, you're right. Except maybe for 1995's Batman Forever. I believe that Forever. I think that's Clooney, or it might be Val Kilmer. It's the one with Mr. Freeze.
Yeah, that's the one with Mr. Freeze. That's the one with the Riddler.
Yes. Oh, and it was such a disappointment because they wanted Arnold to play funny, and he couldn't do it.
And that's Val Kilmer.
Okay. It was such a step down from the movie I loved in 89. It really pissed me off. However, 1996, you've already mentioned, Independence Day, great one. 97, with a great box office of $235 million domestic, Men in Black. That seems to me, for your age, it would have fallen right in your lap.
That was perfect.
Okay.
That was perfect, yes.
Okay.
And Batman Forever was not the Mr. Freeze.
Oh, it wasn't?
That was Batman and Robin that came later.
Well, you know what? After the second one, I kind of lose track. I apologize to all that care. 98, I remember this because we had Rudy Martsky on the show filling in for news, which is not a great idea. And he pronounced the box office. He produced it. He said this movie was called Armageddon, but it's Armageddon. Yes, Armageddon. I didn't know it was a Disney film. Yeah, but that was a good one. That was a lot of fun.
No, that was a wonderful one. It had that's when it really started to stand out with the whole head-to-head, that and Deep Impact, and how you get like the same movies in the same summers.
Yep, exactly. 99, weak offering. Star Wars Episode One: The Phantom Menace. I know you don't even like Star Wars. I like Star Wars, and this is a
suck
movie.
I saw this in theaters.
You
did? This might have been what started me hating Star Wars.
$421 million domestic, which is a lot of money.
Because Star Wars nerds are idiots, and they just assumed it's going to be amazing.
And you know what? A lot of them felt it was. That's the time, 99, when I went down for, again, the Don and Mike show and did Man on the Street interviews in front of the Uptown Theater in D.C.
Yeah.
And talked to all the fans that had been out there for 2 or 3 days. And I went to one guy that literally... celebrity he most resembled was the comic book guy from The Simpsons. And I said to him, what do you like about the Star Wars universe? And he said, I like the mysticism. That was his take.
I remember in high school, these rumors came out about these Star Wars prequels.
Yeah.
And I had a guy I knew who would write letters weekly because he swears that he needed to be the next Anakin Skywalker.
How did it work out for him?
Well, he never got Anakin.
Okay, I'm sorry. Did he get Jar Jar? Did he get anything?
I don't think he ever showed up in any movies.
Well, look for him. He might be one of your skit guys.
He is not.
He's not a skit guy. Okay. 2000. This is crazy to me. 2000 is 25 years ago. Mission Impossible 2. That's how long that franchise has been going.
Yeah. I haven't seen the new one yet.
Right. I've never seen any of them.
Yeah. So it's hard to not be upset about a franchise when it lasts that long.
Yeah, I suppose.
I don't care. It's still making money.
But that's a long time. 2001, Shrek. I loved Shrek. Did you go see it? You might have been at the age where you were a little too cool for Shrek.
Yeah, I'm sure. I don't think I saw it in theaters, but I've got little kids.
So you found your way to
kids
it.
Kids, and also I saw it. It's fine.
Okay, good. Okay.
No, it's fine.
2002, this one is a big one for me because this was, for years, Robert's favorite movie. And if you could wear out a DVD, we did. Spider-Man, the first Spider-Man movie.
Yeah, I loved the first Spider-Man.
I liked the second one, too. I thought they were a lot of fun.
In fact, I don't think I have any trouble with any Spider-Mans. I think they're all just fun movies you put on.
Yeah, I agree. Now, 2003, a Disney movie that I don't care for that much, Finding Nemo. That doesn't seem like a summer blockbuster to me.
It's not
loud enough.
Except it goes back to the summer movies are so many kid movies because the kids are out of school.
Yeah.
So they roll them out there. And
but their admissions used to be half. So they... I mean, I don't know how they got all the money. I guess
because
you have
kids
want to
see
parent.
It multiple times. The parent comes. So when you get a kid movie like Finding Nemo, you're not just getting one person going in. You're getting four.
That's a good point. And also, I think that Finding Nemo, it didn't spark loud for me. I mean,
it was also early in on that Pixar, like building off of Toy Story.
Yeah, true. You know what? That might have been... back in the days of Disney not releasing to video right away because they put it in the vault. And I know they don't do that anymore. But if they started saying Nemo was going in the vault, that probably would have made people go.
That would have.
2004, our biggest grossing movie so far, $437 million for Shrek 2. Which is not as good as Shrek 1.
I don't remember Shrek 2 versus Shrek 1 to tell you what the difference are between the two.
Yeah.
But I think that, did that one bring the dragon in maybe?
Yeah, for Donkey.
Again,
yeah.
Again, you're building off that monster of Shrek 1. So yeah, it's there.
Do you want to pass on 2005 or do you want to know about Star Wars Episode 3 Revenge of the Sith?
Yeah.
Another disappointing one.
Maybe the Star Wars just don't hold up.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's just me.
The first three, I do think, hold
no,
up.
No, I mean the prequels. Yeah,
okay. 2006, great movie. The first Pirates of the Caribbean. Loved it. And that's a perfect blockbuster right there.
A fun blockbuster. And again, where it's sometimes where the casting just pulls you in. Where
yep.
you never saw Johnny Depp like that, and suddenly he was the perfect. It reminds me of Robert Downey Jr. when you first saw him as Iron Man.
Yeah.
Where it
yeah.
was like, it doesn't look like Robert Downey Jr. It is, you are Iron Man.
Yeah, it fell into it. I really liked that film. I like them all, actually. 2007, Spider-Man 3. So I guess Spider-Man 2 never got blockbuster status.
That's weird because I think Spider-Man 3 is the weakest of them all.
Yeah.
That's what stopped the Tobey Maguire Spider-Mans.
Yeah. Okay. 2008, we've seen this movie already.
I bet Spider-Man 2 came out at Christmas time.
Could be.
I bet
you know what?
It
that
just
would make
wasn't a summer
sense.
Release.
Mm-hmm. The second movie of The Lion King, the live-action Lion King, in 2008 with a $505 million domestic gross.
I was very disappointed in the live-action Lion King. I did not enjoy it.
Did you watch the live-action Jungle Book that they did?
Yeah, and again, it was okay.
Yeah,
that one
okay.
I felt better about. Because Jungle Book was a movie that needed updated.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, I saw Mufasa a few months ago.
Yeah.
And it was excellent. I enjoyed it. I took the kids. It was great. So I don't
you actually
have a
went
problem
to a,
with...
You went to a theater. Good for you.
I go to theaters, yeah, a good amount.
I
enjoy the theater.
I can't... The last movie I saw in a theater might be Elvis. It took that to get me out of the...
I saw the new Final Destination a couple weeks ago.
Okay. Oh, you know what? I take it back. I went and saw a Buster Keaton silent movie.
No, that doesn't count.
I know it doesn't, but that's the last time I was at a theater. 2010, Toy Story 3, another great movie. 2011, Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows. Do you like Harry Potter?
I've never seen joints? Harry Potter. No.
They're very entertaining. It's fine. You know what? It's another blockbuster in the way that I think what we're seeing now is the blockbusters all seem to be G or PG PG-13
yeah,
movies.
Kids are out of school. Let's take the family.
And they want to find something that appeals to grownups and kids. That's perfect for Pirates of the Caribbean.
And it's four ticket sales instead of two.
Yeah, yeah. 2012, The Avengers. Marvel's The Avengers.
I'm all in on the Marvel stuff.
Okay,
As much as I hate Star Wars, I love Marvel, and I've seen them all in theaters.
How much of the $620 million domestic gross, how much of that was you?
I only went to the theaters, I think, once for it.
Okay, so $12.
But I believe I own the digital download as well.
You didn't buy the real physical media.
No, I bought the Blu-ray and it comes with a little card. And then I get rid of the Blu-ray.
Save it.
I used to have it. I got rid of it. I've moved many times. I've had life changes and I've gotten rid of physical media.
Okay. You should have given it to me. I would have saved
it
for
time.
You.
Next time it's all going
to I'll make room for it. Thank you. 2013, I went and saw this one, Iron Man 3.
And it's
so obviously you're all in.
It's one of the weakest of the Iron Mans, but I'm telling you, I've seen every Marvel movie in the theaters. They've got all my money.
They got all my money. 2014, how do you feel? This is where I feel that sort of the blockbusters are becoming diminished. I'm not seeing a Jaws up here. When I say 2014, I know you're going to love it, Guardians of the Galaxy.
See, that's one of my favorite movies. Not of all time, but as far as the Marvel movies. And let's see, 14, I feel like that was about the time that my oldest daughter started getting into Marvel, so then it really became like a thing.
Okay, that makes sense. It makes perfect sense. But they gave too much credit to the soundtrack because I've been playing those records all my life. And they did not discover music of the 70s, Gardens of the Galaxy. So I'm bitter. I'm bitter. But 2015 brought us a return to Jurassic World. I'm sorry, I interrupted.
Well, I was just going to say that soundtrack and those Avenger movies have done great things for these camp skits. It's
really?
Great to bring in superheroes and they know the music.
Okay, you know what?
A lot of these summer blockbusters,
yeah.
I'm thinking back and I've used characters from these blockbusters in the skits. We've had the Star Wars. We've had the Avengers.
Did you have the raccoon?
We've had Jurassic Park people.
Who's the raccoon in Guardians of the Galaxy?
Rocket Raccoon.
I hate raccoons, just so you know.
Yeah, well, 2000... the latest Guardians of the Galaxy really leans into that character a little too much.
Not interested. 2015, great movie, Jurassic World. Loved it. And I think that is a classic blockbuster there.
Classic. That one was that was an impressive one where it's, wow, they brought back the feeling of Jurassic Park.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Now as good as that is, 2016, this is depressing that this was a summer blockbuster, Finding Dory, the sequel to Finding Nemo.
With Ellen.
Ellen, yeah.
Yeah,
and it was it was soft, vanilla, nothing.
See, this is
but
where
it's kids.
I think
it's kids.
It's kids. Mm-hmm. And I've seen lots of bad kid movies, and they make all the money because it's kids. It's also pre-internet destroying everything.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. 2017, I loved it. I don't know what you thought of it. Wonder Woman with Gal Gadot or Godot.
I enjoyed Wonder Woman. It's hard for me not to look past the second Wonder Woman that was like the direct to streaming during COVID.
Yeah, not so great.
And that was not so great. But the first one was fine. It was good.
I love the great location shooting in Washington, D.C., which I enjoyed. And maybe Landmark Mall, I think it was.
Yeah, it's always fun when they do things in D.C. and then trying to figure out what they got right, what they got wrong.
Yeah.
Like
anytime you get anywhere in 5 minutes, they got that wrong.
Yeah. Well, the new. The new Captain America has a great scene in with the cherry blossoms, but I've never seen so much parking and so much ability to get around the cherry blossoms.
That's so true. That is so true. 2018, The Incredibles 2. Now, I will say
I love The Incredibles.
When I watched the first Incredibles movie, when I left it, I felt like I had just watched a top shelf action movie, not a cartoon.
Totally.
It is well made.
The first one's really good.
All right. And 2019, it's back. The Lion King again. So we have the original. We have the
live action.
Yeah. So what's the one in 2019?
See, I think 2019 was the live action.
Okay. So then what is the one that was in 2008?
Let's see. The Lion King 2008. Was
but how about The Lion King being a blockbuster 3 years of 25 or 50? That's amazing.
All right, 2008 was the live action.
Okay,
Lion
so King. 19?
So 2019 was also the live action? They did live action twice with The Lion King?
I don't know, but it made $524 million. Disney can get blood out of a stone, so who knows? If anyone knows, pop in on the chat and tell us. Okay, now, I feel really bad because in 2020, I don't even know what this movie is. I think I've heard of it, but I don't know what it is. Tenet? T-E-N-E-T?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
What is that? Oh, you smiled. What is it?
Yeah, it's a horrible movie. All right, this was one of those movies that was all spoke about during COVID and when theaters shut down.
Oh, yeah.
He was like delaying it and wouldn't put it out. Yeah, Christopher Nolan.
Okay, I know the name. So what is the plot of Tenet?
All right. So I watched this during streaming during COVID. So let me see. It was hard to follow.
Okay.
But it was something about...
Were you wearing a mask? Is that why it was hard to follow?
Well, I watched it at home. So
okay. Yeah. Okay, good. Good, good.
But something about how like you would go back in time to stop things from happening.
Oh, a mind-bender movie. I don't like those.
It was one of those, yeah.
Too hard to think about. I love when people go online and they complain about... What's that?
It was the first Hollywood tentpole to open in theaters during the pandemic.
Well,
so it was like the only thing out there.
That's why, oh God, you know what? This is funny. That's exactly right. Because as a blockbuster in 2020, Tenet made $20 million. The previous blockbuster was $524. No one was going to the theater. That's
crazy. And here it is. Tenet is a secretive organization that teaches him how to work through entropy to move backwards through time. So if you see someone shot, you can then move backwards to stop it from happening.
Yeah, well, the first thing you do, you go back and you kill baby Hitler. That's what you do.
Yeah, but there you'd have to walk backwards a lot. You were just walking backwards like
just a little bit.
Go back to the beginning of this show.
Mm-hmm. By the way, anyone who gets online and complains about plot minutia of the Back to the Future movies, stop it. It's a fantasy, it's a movie, and you don't need to invoke Einstein's theories of going back in time.
The first Back to the Future is my favorite movie of all time.
Josh, that is a wise choice. I have watched it 35, 40, 50 times. I love the whole trilogy, but the first one is actually a perfect movie.
Yeah, the second one is fun, and the second one on the tech side and the future side is great. And the hoverboards are wonderful as like being a teenager or whatever that came out, or a kid. But the first one I can watch over and over again.
I love the fact that the first one set the stage for the entire trilogy and we didn't even know it when we're watching.
Yeah.
You know, correct. It laid all that groundwork. Just a superior movie. Just like in 2021 when the number one summer blockbuster, again, not popping to mind, Black Widow.
That's a Avengers movie.
Oh, okay.
Black Widow is one of the Avengers. So it was a Marvel.
Okay. Yeah, it is a Disney one. But again, not a big $183 million. I think that 2022 is the last proper summer blockbuster that we've had with $701 million domestic, Top Gun Maverick.
Yeah, and remember, and Top Gun Maverick, again, it fits the summer blockbuster. But also, that was the, hey,
Hollywood is back.
And then let's get everyone back in the theaters. And that's when Tom Cruise was doing the little videos. Thank you for coming to the theaters again.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Like that's the movie that he should be given every award for saving cinema.
Yeah, he really did save. I mean, that was huge. 2023, I can't call it a blockbuster. I liked it, but Barbie. I saw it in the theater. I did Barbenheimer. Did you know that?
Now, I don't. I haven't seen Oppenheimer.
It's really long.
I saw Barbie eventually.
And?
I don't want to talk about Barbie.
Okay.
I found Barbie to be pretty offensive.
I think it's, again, to be a blockbuster, though, in the rounder scheme of things, it's too quiet. There's not excitement.
Barbie had too much opinion that it wanted to get out there in the world.
A lot of it, yeah.
For me.
That's true.
That I found it to be a little too offensive for what it was, for a talking doll.
Now, there was not many opinions in Finding Dory, so.
No.
That's good. And our final one, 2024, I have not seen it, but I saw the first one, Inside Out 2, with the emotions, the animated picture.
I saw it.
And how was the second one?
Not as good as the first.
It never is. So there
and
you
again,
go.
The cartoons like that hit me in different spots because of the ages of my kids. Like you were talking about Spider-Man and Robert. Same thing where the first Inside Out hit my oldest daughter at the perfect age where she lined up with the characters, so it worked out.
I watched Monsters, Inc., I think, every day for 6 months because that's the movie Julia would be. And she was old enough. She'd come down and she'd just hit play. And then we didn't watch it forever. And then the next time I watched it with her, she's commenting on like filmmaking and how jokes are constructed, which is funny because she watched it when she was three. But it really is a good movie. Most of those Pixar movies are great.
A lot of them still hold up.
Yeah. I'm sorry that Back to the Future, that must have been a Christmas release because that's a perfect summer blockbuster.
Yeah. Yeah. It must have been the first one. And I think whenever you had one of the sequels that was missing, it came out at Christmas.
Yeah. So there's that. There's a new Jurassic Park movie you said coming out?
There is. I think it comes out this weekend or it came out last weekend.
Mm-hmm.
A new Jurassic World. I haven't heard anything about it. The last one was really bad.
The one that was the summer blockbuster like 25 years ago, I liked that one.
You know, when I look at 2025, you know what movie is getting constant praise right now? And it's the kids movie. The remake of the live action How to Train Your Dragon.
Yeah.
That's what's going to get listed as one of this. It's making all the money.
And merchandised everywhere, which is very, very smart. So, yeah, those are the blockbusters. I think that we've found out that your favorite blockbuster was one of the Marvel movies for the summer.
Probably the Marvel movies. Yeah.
And the one
that first Avengers, I'm sure.
And the probably a tie for me between Ghostbusters, based on when it landed, and the Batman, 1989 Batman. I hope you enjoyed that. I loved going through that list.
Yeah.
Oh, that was fun.
It's Jurassic World Rebirth comes out on July 2nd.
I'll meet you there.
But again,
maybe they'll show it at the theater at King's Dominion.
We won't be there on July 2nd.
No, we'll be there on the 28th. I got it right this time.
This Saturday.
It's an hour under the tower, folks. It's going to be a beautiful day at the park. The heat dome is going to bust on Thursday night going into Friday. What we're looking for is beautiful blue skies, 89 degrees, with just a few conversational clouds to keep it from being too sunny.
And running water.
And running water, crazy, crazy water. So, yeah, come out and see us. We'll be under the Eiffel Tower at 12 noon, and keep in mind, I'll be staying probably till closing. So if you want to hang out all day in a theme park, I'd love to do that with you.
I'm probably only there until early evening, because I will be continuing driving that day back to Florida.
I will FaceTime you when they turn on all the lights, so you can see the park in darkness.
I can't wait. I saw the Eiffel Tower lit up on last Friday.
That's amazing, because those lights run on water. I didn't know.
Well, it was Friday. They were open then.
So, folks, come out and see us at King's Dominion. If you enjoyed this show so, so very much, it'll stream again tomorrow at 8 a.m. So make sure you check it out.
Rob, real quick, go back to that list. What was the blockbuster for 1985?
85.
Yes.
Okay, one sec.
Because Stefano in the chat is pointing out that the first Back to the Future came out on July 3rd, 1985. So I want to know what movie did better than it.
Rambo First Blood Part 2.
Perfect.
What a summer for you. All your favorite movies in the theater.
I was five. I don't think I could see Rambo in the theaters. That was definitely, as my dad would say, a hard R.
They never just dropped you off, let you go?
No. Okay. Nope.
Yeah. Carrie, when she was little, there are a lot of concerts would go through Newport News and play at the Coliseum down there. And she remembers at like age five, when her sister was seven, her parents dropping her off to see the Jackson 5.
Wow.
And just leaving.
I rode my bike to the mall to see the movie Waterworld. And that was, remember that as one of the first movies I saw by myself.
That's a horrible movie.
It is.
And also, it's loosely based on the water main at King's Dominion. We'll be back with a brand new show on Thursday. Again, if you want to join us again, this will stream tomorrow. This will post tomorrow. Click like and all those things. I guess we're supposed to say smash that like button.
Yes. That's what I put in the corner, because that's what the kids are saying.
they love it.
I typed click that like button when I was making the graphic, and I said, that doesn't look good.
Smash that like button.
Smash that like button.
And I will see you at the Gaga Ball tournament. I want to see video of Gaga Ball, okay?
All right. I'll have an updated video for you on Thursday, maybe.
And make it exciting. Speed it up, then play it backwards.
It'll happen.
All right, very good. Josh, thank you. I love these evening shows.
Me too.
All right, talk to you guys very soon. Have a great evening, or if you're listening tomorrow, have a great day. Remember, this is the show that's 12 hours early.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.